amigos, here we are again, Rancho Alegre Radio, and we have a great interview with one of my heroes of Tejano music, and this man's been able to do it all, of course, soul, country, I mean, just anything he puts his mind to. I've been told by many that Little Joe can sing anything, and the proof is in his catalog. Go ahead and take it away. Hope you enjoy this great interview. It was a pleasure for me to do it in his museum in Temple, Texas. And such a great guy. And hope you learned something, because I know I did. So let's take it away. Rancho Alegre Radio. Amigos, here we are again, Rancho Alegre Radio. And I am Baldomero, El Paranero Cuellar. We are here at the Little Joe Museum in Temple, Texas. And we're going to be interviewing a great legend of Tejano music, Little Joe Hernandez. Little Joe, thank you so much for taking time and speaking with us. It means an awful lot to us. Muchas gracias.
No, on contrary, thank you for having me as your guest, and I wish you well with your programming.
Thank you.
It appears that you have your ducks all in a row, and you know what you're doing, and lots of success.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That means a lot. That means a lot. Coming from a legend, that means a lot. And let's go ahead and start. For those of you, you know, who don't know Little Joe, we're going to give you an introduction and to a little piece of our history. And actually, Little Joe is a big piece of the orquesta, so let's get to it. And Little Joe, when were you born?
10/17/1940.
¿Y dónde?
I was born here in Temple, and
live
here, yeah.
Oh, okay, and you're still here.
Fíjate. Yep.
And tus papases, who's your parents?
My dad and mom came from Mexico. My dad from San Luis Potosí, and my mom, Aguascalientes. The revolution forced them out, and they were here as children. My mom must have been, I don't know, 3, 4. My dad about the same age, although my dad was 7 years older than my mom. But and apparently his family got here a little earlier than my mom's family.
And their names were?
Salvador Hernandez, my dad, and my mom, Amelia de Leon. My mom's father was Jose Maria de Leon, Coronel Jose Maria de Leon. Therefore, I'm Jose Maria de Leon Hernandez. But he worked his way up in the army, and commanded his own troops. He became a colonel.
Wow.
And during the revolution is when he sent my grandmother, great-grandmother, grandmother, and my mom and uncle. It was just my mom and his brother and her brother. Thinking back, it could have been that one of my grandfathers forced the other one out of the country. So, but that was La Revolución. And
right.
So my grandmother remarried here, and the years went by, and they never went back, and lost contact with my grandfather. But it's a big, big family there in Mexico. And later on in years, they came to the hospital here, Scott and White Hospital, which is world-renowned. And they met, and it was something really special
to
make a connection with the family there from Mexico.
And where did they come from? Eran pescadores, rancheros, or?
Well, when they came, on my dad's side, the story goes that when he was a kid, and they were a real well-to-do family, you know, it was a bunch of brothers, and they had an hacienda, and my dad, just mischief little kid, and he got up about 3-4 in the morning and went to the barn, and he thought that the hillside was all lit up, and he thought the stars were really bright that night. But as it was the army had come in, and they camped in the hills. They were camped in their fire campfires, was what my dad was looking at from the distance.
Right.
Next morning they rode in, and they asked to see who was in charge of the hacienda there, and they called my great uncle, and the army of the soldiers, you know, took a rope, threw it over a limb, and put the rope around my uncle's neck and said, okay, you're in charge here. We'll start with you. Go down the line, or you have the option to pick up and leave now.
Wow.
So naturally, they took the option and just grabbed whatever they could bring. And I remember my grandfather's brother, my Uncle Manuel, brought his violin, which I have here in the museum, and his music, and my aunts. There were like five or six sisters, all young. They brought their silverware, and they're, you know, like I said, they're really well-to-do family.
Right.
They came here and never married. They grew old, and they're working in the fields, and eventually they died off one by one.
Right.
But that's the story on my dad's side. And
wow.
But that's what the revolution caused, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. And brothers and sisters, siblings, you have any brother? I know you have brothers, but just...
I'm actually 7 of 13 kids.
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
So, but the little girl that was born before me died as an infant,
okay.
6-7 months old. But other than that, there's 8 brothers and 4 sisters. So,
wow.
Cheaper by the dozen.
And were you ever a pescador? Did you ever?
Oh, man, I grew up along with my brothers and sisters picking cotton, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, on my 15th birthday, I was already playing music, but I decided to make it a special day and set a picking cotton record. Everybody's sun started going down, everybody quit, and I kept going. I just wanted to set a record, and I did, and that's something to look back and be proud of.
Right.
Yeah, picking cotton is honorable work, hard work.
Definitely.
But it teaches you something. If you don't hustle, you don't make anything. Yeah,
that's very true. Did you ever do the old tricks waiting for it to get kind of damp so it'd be a little heavy?
Yeah that all works.
And so I know that Johnny and Rocky are musicians, singers. Anyone else in the family? You mentioned your uncle had a violin, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah, all my brothers sang, and I think they've all recorded, let me see, maybe. No, they all recorded except Juan Porfirio, but he sang, and they all played guitar, and but and you know, they're much better singers than I, but I just made it a business and, you know, got away with it. I continue to fake it and get paid, but yeah, they all professionally only Johnny and Rocky.
Okay.
But my younger brother played sax, and he just released a CD last year, which I'm really, really proud and surprised how well he did with this CD.
Awesome.
So it's in the family. It's
definitely.
Yeah.
And you're a vocalist. Do you dabble in any other instruments?
Besides? Well, I started playing guitar and I was a real shy kid. And my first guitar, we were picking in Altus, Oklahoma, and I earned enough to buy my first guitar for $14. And I wanted to be a jazz guitarist, which never happened. But as I got started, my last recording was my first album on my first record company, which is Arriba. I recorded on that album, and I realized that I wanted a better band, and everything kept getting better except my guitar playing, so I brought in a guitarist, and that's how it's worked for me since.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break, and of course, we're going to play all of Little Joe's music, past and present. So we'll be right back with Little Joe, Rancho Alegre Radio.
We'll be back.
Al cortar una gardenia se me vino una ramita. Qué cosa será el amor que hasta el sueño se nos quita. Voy a escribir tiene amor, no falta un entremetido. Qué torres tan elevadas como no las tumba el aire. Qué bonita chaparrita para nuera de mi madre. Acuerde de mí.
Si no me quieres, si no me quieres, ten compasión. Mira que el hombre que te idolatra se encuentre herido del corazón. ¿Por qué te ocultas cuando te miro? ¿Por qué te ocultas, mi bien, así? ¿Cuál es el crimen que he cometido de haberte amado no más a ti? Soñé que un ángel su amor me daba, pero yo en cambio mi amor le di. Él me juraba que él me adoraba, yo con el alma se lo creí. La sombra de aquella noche, mi desengaño voy a ocultar, para que nadie sepa que te amo. Cuando de amores me oigan hablar,
qué lástima.
lástima, por ti voy a sufrir. Qué lástima, por ti voy a sufrir.
We're back with Little Joe himself, the legendary Little Joe, and we know you've had, you know, a bunch of bands, but what was your first band that you...
Actually, I've never played for another band other than when I started my cousin David Coronado. It was four kids, Antonio Matamoros, Jacinto Moreno. Antonio Matamoros on saxophone, Jacinto Moreno on drums, David Coronado on saxophone, who was about 3 years older than I, my cousin who started the band. And I played guitar. I didn't start singing until later on when I was sort of forced to front the band. But later on, David left, went on the road. He's a great musician, and being a little older was way ahead of us musically and mature-wise. But he went to Walla Walla, Washington, and he worked with Frank Zappa and a lot of other greats.
Wow.
Yeah, and so from David Coronado and the Latineers, it became Little Joe and the Latineers, and it was just a trio.
Oh, okay.
One saxophone, one guitar, and one drummer. Vamonos. So that went on till, of course, 1970. I changed the name from Latineers to La Familia.
Oh, okay.
So I've never worked for anyone else other than myself.
That's great.
And that's probably why I'm poor. As a matter of fact, I know that's why I'm poor.
You touched up on something, forced to sing, forced to lead. How did that happen?
Well, you know, when you're under pressure, you, at least I do, you know, I seem to perform better. But necessity, the old saying, is mother of invention, and it's true. My dad got busted for four joints, and I got sentenced for 4 years, but he served 28 months. And during that time, it's when I was starting my musical career. So whatever I was paid went a long ways. Back then, money was just... You know, you could buy a lot more with money.
Right.
Example, 25 cents when I was a kid, 9 cents would get you into the movie, 1 cent would get you two pieces of caramel, 5 cents would get you a drink, and 10 cents a hot dog, a chili dog with all the trimmings. For a quarter, you could go a movie and eat a hot dog and drink a soda and couple of candy, little pieces of candy. So
wow.
What do you get for a quarter now, you know?
It's like, yeah.
But you know, my dad being away and times being hard the way they were, whatever little money I got paid, which was a lot compared to picking cotton, went a long ways, and you know, helped provide for the family. So I had to sing. Of course, you know, like I said, I was real timid and shy, and a lot of times I threw up on my shoes before I got on stage, but that's what I had to do. That's what I did.
And when did you ever get married? Children?
Oh, yeah. I got married in 1962, and last February this year celebrated my 50th anniversary, and I have four kids.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife still puts up with me sometimes, so I let it go as it is.
And what is her name?
Criselida.
And children, you had four children?
Four kids, yeah.
And the reason I ask is, how hard was it touring and bringing up a family?
Well, it's always difficult, but I think in my case, I just made things a little harder than need to. That's been my way. I would always, you know, stay on tour, but come home. My wife did a great job raising the kids. As a
right.
matter of fact, they're my bosses. My oldest son is my booking agent manager, and my daughter really is the one that handles all the businesses for me.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And my third kid is a high school principal, was it? And Brian, he's now in Belton. And my youngest kid is an artist, a guitarist, a songwriter, and vocalist, and he's really the talent in the family. He's there in Austin.
That's great.
Yeah.
And back, you know, it was a different time back when you were touring. Did you ever encounter anything like racism?
Of course, we do today. You know, it's a shame, but especially the election of Barack Obama has really, you know, the racism has really surfaced. Maybe it was kind of underground, but it's become so evident now, and it's such a shame because old habits die hard. You know, old attitudes. Right. But, you know, this country is changing for the better. And this is a melting pot, and some people still oppose it, but that's not, you know, that's not the case. It's going to happen. And my family, you could, if you, when we have family gatherings, there's blacks, browns, whites, and Asians, and all, you know, all colors of, and you know what happens? You have some beautiful kids, you know.
Definitely.
Know, and I'm just real proud of all my family, but, and I'm happy that they don't know discrimination like I do, you know, or felt, and segregation, and I went through all that, you know, 1940, man, can you imagine?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So the 50s, you know, yeah. But and people are amazed that you know that I still live in Temple, that I was born and raised and still live here, and I always crack a silly joke and say, "Well, the Ku Klux Klan couldn't run me out, so here I am.
That's right.
I'm here to stay."
And was it examples of racism that you faced? Was there was it difficult sometimes to get a hotel room or stuff like that, or restaurants not letting you enter the front door and stuff?
Slept in parks many nights.
Is
and
that right?
Ate in the station wagon because we had a black guy. I've always had a kind of, you know, black or white kids in the band. And in the old days when El Charro Negro, which
Bobby Butler.
Yeah, I nicknamed him Charro Negro. You know, certain places they wouldn't allow him to eat, or we had to eat behind the back doors, and you know, some hotels wouldn't allow him to stay. So you know, all for one for all. So you know, that there was a lot of that, and it's unfortunate because world's got to change, and we have to change
Definitely.
Along with it, and it you know, it just. It's taken, in my case, a little too long.
Right, definitely. We need to start melting with that. And it's amazing. Charro Negro, for example, a lot of people like to label the word negro as the N-word, which they have a hard time believing that there is no Spanish word for the N-word. You know what I mean?
No, there's not. Negro means black.
That's right.
And, you know, los cubanos, los puertorriqueños, siempre se llaman, oye, negro, o negra.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
That's not derogatory at
that's
all, you know.
Right. That's right. And they always have a problem, you know, believing that. But it's true.
Yeah.
So a lot of languages don't.
But, you know, one of the, well, racism, it's sad because it's ignorance and it comes in all colors.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I've seen it in all colors that I've dealt with, people that I've dealt with. And, you know, the music's really gotten me in and out of a lot of situations that otherwise I would have never been able to be in. So I've had the opportunities to see things from within and without and from out, from the outside. And it's just sad, like I said, you know, that there's still, and there will always be ignorant people.
Right, yeah, right.
And as long as we have ignorant people, I'm not saying I'm a bright person. I'm ignorant to some degree. I guess we all are.
Right.
But, you know, my upbringing as far as the racist thing, I thank God for my dad's view of that, and my mom, you know, otherwise we couldn't have the family that we do, you know.
Right, right.
But it will get better eventually. It has to. There's no two ways about it, you know. So like I said, you know, old attitudes are still there, but they're changing.
Definitely, just not fast enough for our taste. Right? All right, we're here with Little Joe. Let's go to take another break. We'll be right back. Rancho Alegre Radio.
Una mujer de este pueblo, señores, me ha traicionado.
tanto, nunca me puse a pensar que se enamorara de otro y algún día me iba a olvidar. Abandoné yo a mis padres por seguir a esa mujer.
Hasta lograr lo que quiero, he de verte rodar por el suelo y llorar sin consuelo, pidiendo mi amor de favor. Me dirás que ya estás convencida, que te encuentras tan sola y perdida, y que quieres tu vida pasar junto a mí. Cuando llegue ese tiempo anhelado, que con ansias yo tanto he esperado, sentirme rodeado con todo tu amor.
Quiero cobrarte una cuenta, quiero aliviar mi dolor, que me dejó el alma muerta por lo ingrato de tu amor.
Cuando llegue ese tiempo anhelado, ansias yo tanto he esperado, sentirme rodeado con todo tu amor.
Quiero cobrarte una cuenta, quiero aliviar mi dolor,
que me dejó el alma muerta por lo ingrato de tu amor.
Okay, amigos, we're back with Little Joe here on Rancho Alegre Radio. And Mr. Hernandez, what made you say, sabes que, I'll be a cantante. I'm gonna sing. You know, what made you get in there? I mean, we know you spoke about the necesidad, pero...
That's it, you know. Somebody had to do it. I didn't know that I would have such a long career. The longevity, I guess, is due to different factors. But my biggest motivation, of course, was my little brother, Jesse, who died in a car accident, younger than I.
Oh, is that right?
I recruited him to play bass for me. And he was 20 years old, and we were due to go to Dallas Sunday morning. We were going to record some of the songs he had written. But he was an incredible talent. And thinking back, he was playing bass, writing songs, playing piano, teaching me some guitar chords. And I don't know where he was getting that from, because none of us were, you know, schooled. But he liked staying behind the scene, you know.
Right.
I remember his voice, a really good singer. But he wanted the attention focused on me. And so when he died, you know, that was in 1963, he was 20 years old. And, of course, I made a pledge, I made a promise that I would continue with what he wanted me to do. So,
wonderful.
You know, there was no quitting. I you know, I had to really go full force ahead and make a decision to make this happen.
Right.
That was, of course, you know, a promise I made. And when I got my first Grammy, I dedicated it to his memory, because I've never been about awards or stuff, and I've been real fortunate, as you can see. There's hundreds of them.
Oh,
here.
Yes.
One of my older brothers pointed out, he says, you know, your promise has been fulfilled. You said you would take this to the top, and, you know, this is the highest award you can get from your peers. So he says, and I thought about it, and I felt not relieved, but happy that, you know, I had fulfilled my promise.
Definitely, yeah.
So it was really Jesse's ambition for me to make music a career.
Right.
Because we were working at a factory and playing music, and he forced my hand. He quit working, and he said, I'm not going to do day job and music. I'm going to play music. And so I was concerned for his well-being, and he was married and I wasn't. And I thought, wow, I'm going to have to, you know, he forced my hand. We'll make it a full time and really hustle. that's really how I went full time.
He
just forced my hand to become to do just music.
Right.
Yeah.
And how important is that in the beginning to have a job and doing it? Because we meet a lot of young artists that we interview that they feel that just singing is enough. And
well, no, economically, no. You know, and some aren't. There's a lot of great talent that will never go on the road because that's not what they're built for, made for. There's a lot of sacrifice and discipline and, you know, just hardships, you know, being on the road. And they have all the talent and ability. But then, again, it's not just that. One thing I've learned, Frank, is that no matter how good you are, if the people don't accept or like you, it doesn't matter.
That's right. That's right. La gente manda.
Yep. You know, they either like you or they don't.
Right.
A lot of artists have a hit song, but it's the song that's a hit, not the artist.
Right.
A lot of artists sing whatever, and they're still, I think Rock is a good, my brother Rock is a good example of that. People love Rocky, no matter if he sings out of tune or whatever. They just love him.
Right.
No matter what he sings, you know, they just love Rocky, you know.
Yeah.
He's fortunate that way. So the road is not for everyone, and you know, you have to work and play, do what you need to or
that's
want
right.
to, you know, but the old saying, hace más el que quiere que el que puede, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Si quieres, you can, you know, tienes que querer a lot, though.
That's right, that's right. And you mentioned that your late brother did a lot of songwriting. You ever dabble in songwriting?
Oh, yeah. That was in the beginning because, as a matter of fact, he wrote a song called Ramona, And I remember how that came about. It was, we had an old piano there in the living room, my dad's house, and he was playing the bass and playing the piano, and a little girl walked in, a neighbor, and her name was Ramona, cute little, about 7-8 year old little girl, big black brown round eyes and long hair, and he just started, he says, I'm gonna write you a song, and he started playing the piano and singing, Ramona, Ramona, I love you so, please tell me you love me, and never go, and he just kept on going and wrote the whole song, and it just blew my mind, you know. And the little girl was, you know, just laughing, smiling, you know. And it actually became, he finished the song, and when we recorded our first records, I'd written a song named Little Girl of My Dreams, and he'd written Ramona, and I brought my brother Johnny to sing the songs for us. I didn't want to sing my own recording, my own song that I wrote, right. And I guess Jesse didn't either, so we, come here, Johnny, you can do it. Just like, try it, Mikey.
And growing up, what was your musical influences?
Many, you know. My older brothers and sisters all, they would buy records and bring home the big band era. That's
oh, yes.
You know, not if, but when I die, I don't know where I'm going, but should it be where they give me a choice of music, it'll always be big band jazz, you know,
because wow.
that's, but, you know, that's not what I perform,
right.
But I write songs, you know, that would right. conducive to the big band, and some I record, some I don't. But I grew up listening to all the crooners, you know, because of my brothers, and because that was the times, you know, the Frank Sinatras and right. Nat King Coles and all those guys, you know, and ladies, Ella Fitzgerald, and, you know. There were a lot of influences as a kid, you know, in the
right.
50s, you know, the rock and roll. And but like I said, I wanted to be a jazz guitarist, which I would never accomplish. You know, jazz was always something that this kind of music that I kind of inflict into my recordings, and a lot right. of them you can tell that there was some jazz influence in my upbringing. You know?
I sense a lot of Motown in your soul.
There's
too,
some. There's a little bit of everything, yeah. which keeps it fresh for me. I could never just play one genre or style of music.
Right.
I'd bore myself out of a job. So I like mixing it.
And what bands would you listen to? I mean, just to give it, the point that I'm trying to bring home with this question is that a lot of people believe that if they listen to Tejano, there's no room for the Rolling Stones or anything, you know. Just
Jesus, that's totally the opposite of what I believe. You should listen to everything that's
right.
Anything that sounds musical.
That's right.
But I like classic. I love the symphony. But as a kid, I listened to the big bands, and then when the quartets and quintets, sextets started breaking off, you know,
right.
all the jazz players, and then of course the doo-wop bands,
right,
you
right.
know. My all-time favorite, of course, the Platters. You know,
wow.
you know that's. I don't know why the Platters just really made me feel American.
Right.
That, you know, some people don't quite understand that statement, but coming from the barrio y siendo raza. On the contrary, you know, if you want to make Tejano or Chicano music better, then you should learn all about all music.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It all plays.
Of course, you know, when you, like I said earlier, if you go to the bass, you know, you start from ABC, 1, 2, 3, and like in my case, Musica Mexicana de Mariachi, José Alfredo Jiménez.
Oh, definitely.
A genius of a writer, you know. I studied his music, just studied his lyrics, the way he puts them together, and, you know. So the biggest compliment I ever paid to me was a song I wrote, and somebody asked me if it was a José Alfredo Jiménez song, and I thought, wow, you know. And it's not that I'm trying to copy, you know, but it's just that you learn from, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And fantasy question that I give a lot of people, you know, like I said, completely fantasy. Alive or dead, if you could duet with anyone, who would it be in the any music genre, whoever?
A duet?
Duet, yeah. Like I said, alive or dead.
I'll try that guy, Little Joe. I don't know. I had never thought about that, but
one of your heroes or something.
Yeah, well, I guess Frank Sinatra. Sinatra. As a kid, all my family loved Frank Sinatra.
Right.
But not till I got older, and I was in Vegas many times when Sinatra was there, and I regret not ever going to see him. But I would say in the last 15, 20 years, I didn't only listen to Frank Sinatra, but I paid attention. And he was such an incredible vocalist. If you understand singing, at one point you got to breathe to continue singing. And this guy's incredible. He would hold a note and he'd go into the next note. And I don't know, there's such a thing called circular breathing. I don't know if that's what he did, but it's just so incredible that he would hold a note, and when he's got to be out of breath, he'd go into the next note and keep going. It's like just so amazing. And in tune and in time,
right.
His timing, his intonation, and his everything,
Right.
So and the timbre of his voice. So it's not just Frank Sinatra, they call him the boss, whatever they call him, the chairman of the board,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
But there was a reason for that. And here later in life, I understand now why he was regarded the way he was, revered, because he's just an incredible
right,
talent,
right, right.
And there's many great singers, and Tony Bennett, I finally went to see. He's another, one of the very, very greats. He's 85 and still belting it out.
That's right. That's right.
But Sinatra, tough. If I had to, I never thought about it, but I'd like to sing Por Una Mujer Casada with him.
Wow.
Okay, maybe Las Nubes.
That would be interesting. All right, amigos, we're here with Little Joe. Let's go ahead and take another break. We'll be right back. Rancho Alegre Radio.
If I fail, strong, a love that's really strong. This love will never die, not even if you say goodbye. Oh yes, Ramona, my love is true. So please say you love me as I love you. A love that's really strong. This love will never die, not even if you say goodbye. Oh yes, Ramona, I love your eyes, your pretty long hair. Please try to
voy a morir, mentira no me hace nada si ya me quieres seguir. Porque la quise y la quiero y nunca la podré olvidar. Su marido anda diciendo que a traición me ha de matar. Pasar la temporada, después se la vuelvo a traer. Tengas ya, si yo he de perder la vida, después tu Dios la tendrá. La suerte a los dos nos toca y piensa solo en mi querer. Tu marido ya no sobra, tú vas a ser mi mujer. Son las 10.
diamante que mi corazón lastima. ¿Qué pajarillo es aquel? Que no cante, que espere que yo me muera.
Play it for me, Juan.
Y el mal pago que me das, lo mucho que yo te quiero y el mal pago que me das. Toma esta cajita de oro, mira lo que lleva dentro. Lleva amores, lleva celos y un poco de sentimiento. Lleva amores, lleva celos y un poco de sentimiento. Ya con esta me despido. Con el alma entristecida. Ya te canté los dolores y las penas de mi vida. Cante mis dolores y las penas de mi vida.
We're back with Little Joe here on Rancho Alegre Radio. And Joe, who do you listen to when you want to relax? What do you play?
Andre Bocelli, I carry that CD with me in my bag. I like to listen to a lot of, you know, jazz greats, but as vocalists, Satchmo, Louis Armstrong, Billie Holiday, I love Billie Holiday. It's just, for me, you know, music is like food. If it's well done, I love it, you know.
That's right.
I am a vegetarian, but other than meat, I eat any and everything as long as it's well prepared. Same thing with music, you know. So, Trios. Some kids from Argentina, I believe they are.
Wow.
They have a CD with like 25 boleros, all classics, and they do an incredible job of it. So that's the kind of music, you know, that that really relaxes me, and I enjoy all kinds of music, but
right.
I don't carry CDs with me other than right. Very few in the car. Other than that, I'm tuned into Sirius Radio, so I like to listen to real jazz and the Sinatra Channel. They play all those
classics, the good stuff. Because I imagine it's hard, you know, being that it's your job to do Tejano music, to listen to Tejano music, especially nowadays when it seems like this, you know, everyone's going with the same playlist. You know, you can almost time by watching your clock what's going to play yeah. next. And it's really a shame because there's so much music out there, classics, yeah. you know, and a lot of the, like we were talking about off the air, a lot of the youngsters will tell me they'll hear a song like Coco Rayado and they thought, you know, Rubén Velas was the newest. And
yeah.
it's like, no, it goes yeah. back. I'm sure you get a lot of that.
Well, you know, I started by recording a lot of the songs that I heard as a kid, you know, some songs that are over 100 years old.
Right, right.
They're beautiful songs, beautiful lyrics, beautiful melodies, beautiful stories, you know, beautiful chord changes, you know. It's just, you know, the what's unfortunate, and I think what's probably part of the, if it is a problem, that Tejano music is kind of boxed into such a, I don't know if we can say, repetitious form of music, you know.
Right.
The fact that the schools cut the music programs.
Definitely.
You know, I've always had musicians that, while I'm not schooled or trained, but I have all my musicians read and write music. They come out of colleges or, you know, but if you're musical trained, you learn to appreciate, you know, there's no boundaries to the music you like, you know.
Right.
So you can, you know, whether it's blues or jazz or rock or country or pop or rancheras, whatever it may be, you understand music a little different from those of us that are not musically trained. And when the schools cut their music programs, that really, really hurt, especially a nuestra gente de la raza, you know.
Right.
That in the old days, the kids would come out of school, you know, playing their instruments. And it's, you know, when I'm asked about, you know, what would you advise somebody who wants to be a musician? Well, if you have the opportunity to learn correct, learn music, learn to read and write music, you learn those, what, 12, 13 notes, whatever, they remember what they are. But those same notes will work for you in Beijing or Hong Kong or Buenos Aires or Brownsville, Texas, or anywhere in the world.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, that's the language. Those musical notes, you know, and you can you know, play music anywhere in the world if you can read it. You know, it's got nothing to do with languages or races or, you know. So, in reality, that's what music does. For all of us, it's, you know, when we play music, when we make music, it's an expression of who and what we are and what we feel. It's our soul.
Right.
And that's connected with all human beings. People say that music is a powerful tool. And it is. And talking to you off the air, your experience with your illness, you've heard the expression that music heals, and it really does. It
Definitely.
Heals the soul, and Definitely. It heals the body. You know, why do you? So many people use music to exercise. You know,
right? That's right.
You know, how come you don't get as tired when you're listening to music and you're exercising?
That's right.
You know, so it's a matter of, it gives you strength. You know, music is magic. You know, and I think that when you understand it and you can read it and write it, the better for you. And I think you have a capacity to learn it and absorb more knowledge about music if you, like I said, if you are trained. And our gente, nuestra raza, are lacking that so bad that
Definitely.
What happens is you're limited to the music that you produce, you know. If you're trained as a guitarist and you know all the chords, then when you write a song, you know, you hear the chords, you can find them, you know. If you don't know the chords, even if you hear them, you know, for me, it's hard to convey what I hear in my head.
Right.
But I've always had musicians to direct my band that can take what I hear and turn it into music. But that's because they're trained to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So. And another thing that I've seen lacking in Raza, and I would like to get your take, because I offer no solutions. I honestly draw a blank on this. I notice a lot of the elderly Raza, they're kind of left out of the radio game, because, and it's not just with DJs, I'm not picking on any particular ones, but I've noticed DJs, their lack of Spanish speaking. And, of course, that's with youth in the Raza today. I mean, what's your take on this problem? I call it a problem because it's very important that we carry this tradition, our lenguaje, you know.
Yeah.
What's your take? And like I said, I offer no solutions. I honestly draw a blank on this.
Well, maybe not a solution, but a suggestion.
Okay.
And that is, if you're going to play música en español, you're gonna música del lenguaje español, entonces debías de aprender un poco del
sí.
idioma que vas a usar para después tener la música de yeah, vas a tocar
seguro,
en la radio. So,
I,
you know, it's it doesn't hurt. And you know, another thing is about being bilingual. I know that whatever success I've achieved has been because of bilingualism. You know, it's gotten me through. You know, many. Circumstances where, you know, it was needed. And so for the future, especially in this part of the country, you know, you're digging yourself into a hole. I don't care what color you are, you need to learn Spanish, just like you order burrito, that whatever, you know.
That's right.
I mean, that's here to stay, and it's going to continue to grow. Besides, you know, there's the North America and the South America. And the South America speaks Spanish, local, so all the Central America does too. You know, it's all worlds about communicating, you know,
that's
and
right.
It's become so small when it comes to communications that, you know, we need, if you want to get ahead, to be as bilingual as we possibly can. And that's not, you know, that's for our own good, you know. So our kids need it, you know.
Yeah.
If we're talking about music, you know, you'll notice that a lot of my songs I write them bilingual or translate back and forth, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
So, you know, and the other thing, and I'm not saying this, or maybe as I'm being biased or whatever, but la idioma, the Spanish, the Latin language, the universal Latin language, some of those words are just so beautiful, they you know.
Right.
The American English, you know, it's made up different from the old English, you know.
Right.
And our Spanish, Mexican Spanish is not the Spanish de España, you
right.
know. But when you get down to the universal Latin language, some of those words are, you can say you or you can say usted. You know, the word usted, it carries such, it just, como te digo, they're so, when you say usted, you honor a person.
Right, right. It's so respectful.
So respectful, you know, usted. You know, I have fun translating. I like figuring words, English, Spanish, English, you know.
Right.
And you say, like, the word comienza, you know, well, we know that, you know, but... You know, a lot of the words, and I see a lot of translations, even the Walmart, I say, who the heck translated that? That's, and I'm a seventh grade dropout, but I know better. I
yeah.
mean, you know, but somebody, you know, that happens with the language, and that causes a lot of misunderstanding.
Right, right.
You know, because we mean to say something, and you know,
right.
So it's not what we meant to say, but lack of the language knowledge. You know,
yeah.
So if you're gonna play music, I would. Maybe it's not a problem, but it's such a hassle not to be able to, you know, for the older folks, and especially they heard the most beautiful songs from the old. Days,
right,
you know,
right,
and now here we come along and just chop them all up, you know,
exactly,
not just the enunciation or pronunciation, but you know, of course, if we're young, ignorant, don't give a
yeah,
well, then we don't care, and we don't care enough to try to correct things, you know,
right, right,
but it's so much beautiful when things are correct,
definitely, know? Definitely. And, you know, especially, you know, it's funny you touched up on school and the language stuff. I've always said that schools in Texas teach the wrong Spanish. You know, they teach the Spain Spanish. We need the Mexico Spanish.
Well, we need to learn the words correct. And, you know, a lot of the words that we use here, Mexico, you know, and I'm not a historian on the cultures, but...
Right.
When the Spaniards got here, you know, and Los Indios were there, you know,
right.
There's a lot of words that are made up of Spanish and Indian, the Incas or whoever
right.
was there, you know, los mestizos, you know. So a lot of those words, sometimes create problems for us, you know. One word that I love and I use a lot, and people take it derogatory, but the word chingar. To chingar means to barter.
Right.
That's a Peruvian word. When you go to trade, to barter, you say, vamos a chingar, vamos a trade. You know, and people hear it, chingar.
Oh, yeah.
Chingar is a word from Peru that means to barter, to trade, you know.
Right.
Ya chingamos, we bartered, we traded, we agreed, you know. And people get all riled up.
Definitely.
But that's because of lack of, you know, the knowledge of words, you know.
We turned it into something it's not.
Yeah, So, you know, and some people probably say, well, Joe's, you know, bien maldiciente, but it's all in your head because there's no word should ever cause us to get inflamed or shouldn't. You know?
I'm more insulted with the words that we as Chicanos came up with, like sacatines. That's not a word.
You know what I mean? Well, we do have our own language. Puchale al switch.
Yeah, like, that's right.
Wow, puchale al switch.
That's right. So, all right, let's go to take another break. We'll be right back. Rancho Alegre Radio here with Little Joe.
Esta vez, si es la última vez que yo vengo a envolverme en tus brazos, esta vez, si es la última vez, nuestro amor terminó ya en fracasos. ¿Qué ganamos con seguir los dos y acabar con la fe en mil pedazos? Yo no dudo jamás del amor que me diste entre tantas pasiones. Lo que dudo es que tengas razón de ponerme tantas condiciones que han llegado a matar la ilusión que hoy separa los dos corazones. Yo no sé qué pasó, solo sé que aquí mismo se acaba. Tú te vas, yo me voy, él se va. Nuestro amor ha quedado en la nada. ¿Qué pasó? Yo no sé qué pasó, solo sé que aquí mismo se acaba.
¿Sabe qué pasó?
Yo soy libre y así quiero ser, sin que nadie me dicte la vida. Tú a capricho me quieres vencer para hacerme a tu pura medida. Y a la buena te quiero hacer ver que es mejor separar nuestras vidas. Tú te vas, yo me voy, él se va. Nuestro amor ha quedado en la nada. ¿Qué pasó? Yo no sé qué pasó. Solo sé que aquí mismo se acaba. Tú te vas, yo me voy, él se va. ¿Qué pasó? Yo no sé qué pasó. Solo sé que aquí mismo se acaba.
¿Qué pasó? Yo no sé qué pasó.
Solo sé que aquí mismo se acaba.
Raza, this is Little Joe Hernandez, and here's one of my classics on Rancho Alegre Radio.
Yeah. cantar. Cuando a mí me oyen cantar, se paran a lloviznar. Parece que alegran mi alma con su agua que traen del mar.
Okay, everybody, be sure to check out part two of this interview, and hope you enjoyed, hope you're learning something. We'll be right back, Rancho Alegre Radio.